they'd failed their trust. My own disaster was just one of several. Others were still happening. Numbly, I said, "You can't defend against this kind of thing, Mather. These guys weren't commandos." I swatted the nearest corpse with the charred sheets I was holding. "They came in here expecting to make it to paradise by midnight. Probably didn't even have an escape plan." In a softer voice, I said, "Captain, you might better check on Smoke." Croker frowned, like I'd given away everything, but asked only, "You need anything? Want somebody to stay?" He understood what sorry meant to me. "This is where I came from. When I kept falling back. I got family with me, Captain. If I start to go bug-fuck in the head, they'll cool me down." "You really want to help? Fix Ty Day's arm. Then go do what you gotta do." Croker nodded. He made a small gesture that in normal times meant go, but which meant a good deal more now. Narayan Singh is going to wake up some morning and realize that he has reaped the whirlwind. There's no safe place for him anymore. I rose. Grimly, I set out for my bedroom. Behind me, Ty Day groaned as Croker set his arm. The old man paid him no other mind. He was busy issuing orders that meant a major intensification of the war. Uncle Doge followed me. The reality hurt less than the anticipation had. I indulged in the pointless gesture of removing the rummel from my wife's throat. I stood there with the scarf dangling, staring. The strangler must have been a true master. Her neck was not broken, nor had her throat been bruised. She looked like she was sleeping. There was no pulse when I touched her, though. "Uncle Doge, can I be alone?"
"Of course, but drink this first. It will help you to rest."
He handed me something that smelled really nasty. Did we do this already? He went away. I laid down beside Sari for the last time. I held her while the medicine began to course through me, calling forth sleep. I thought all the usual thoughts, nurtured the usual hatreds. I thought the unthinkable, that it might be best that this had happened before Sara learned what it really meant to be company. I reminisced the great miracle. Ours was a match that never should have been. A match neither ever regretted for an instant. Yet one created by a force so slight as the unspoken whim of an old woman cursed with hysterical, unreliable, precognitive visions. I thought, both sanely and crazily, and commenced the process of beatification that is inevitable after any untimely death.